And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 373. It's your week 22 fab preview. Last week was a bonanza for this time of the year. Might be more like a bombanza this year. Sorry, I had nothing. That was pretty great way to start the show.
Oh.
If you like that, stick around for
let's,
more.
Let's run it back from the top. Let's have our production team.
Cut it. Erased. Here we are. But welcome to the show. You can find me on Twitter at PDN. Check the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanVHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. Outside of that intro, how are you doing?
Yeah, that one dragged me down. We are certainly not a professional outfit here at Bubba and the Bloom. So we just roll with it. Outtakes are part of what we do, I guess. So that was a really bad way to start the show. Let's just hope things get better. Let's hope you come back better in week 22, Bubba.
Oh, there's no promises around here. I'm here because I have to be. No, I'm just kidding. I'm doing the whole Marshawn Lynch. I'm here because they pay me to, but they don't pay me to.
I'm here so I don't get fined.
There it is. I'm here so I don't get fined. Sorry. I watch baseball, but it is that other time of the year if things are ramping up there. So keep hanging out with us. Week 22 fab. Did you golf today? You've been golfing a lot lately. Did you sneak away again?
No. Had to work today. Did a little meatball draft prep. Meatball draft, a somewhat programming note. We're going to be going live a little bit later next Tuesday, but we're doing the meatball draft. Rob DiPietro puts on next Tuesday night, and we'll go live after the draft and have our show Tuesday night, Wednesday morning in your feed. So that'll be fun. Did some prep for that, and then I don't know, watched some baseball today and worked. Normal
Field
Thursday.
Of Dreams
no
game.
Golf, though.
What'd you think of the Field of Dreams game? Shore bombs right out the gate. Netflix, another game on Netflix.
Yeah,
I don't mind the Netflix as much as other people do, but I think they're getting better with it, honestly, as they keep their. The game in San Francisco was horrific with all the cable cars and stuff, but at least Field of Dreams, it's meant to be kind of, you know, cliche. So like all the pomps and circumstance, and I think it works on Netflix. It's annoying having to have 17,000 places to watch baseball, but I thought it was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I have nothing. I mean, it's something cool that's different. This is pretty sad to admit, but like my one nitpick of these games is there's no Statcast. There's no Statcast data. So like
nerd alert.
Exactly. It's bad. It's bad. I do think it is good that they do that. You can say, "Oh, it's too corny, whatever, it's lame. I have to go to Netflix."
Literally, cuz it's in the cornfield.
Yeah, that joke was made about 50 times tonight.
Yes, it was.
I think it's fine. They want to experiment with new stuff. It's cool. Whatever.
It was funny when, like, in the first inning, Arise goes to do the ABS challenge. Like, sorry, we don't have that.
Yeah, they don't have it. We don't have it here. We're in a cornfield.
Yep, that's not happening today. But, yeah, that's cool to see. But we'll move on from that, and I will get you guys locked and loaded without too many more dad jokes. No promises. Let's talk some week 22 fab, Ryan, where it's, as you've mentioned, it might be a little on the lighter side of things.
Yeah, we'll see as we talk through it. But as I was kind of running through some prep for it today, certainly not the bonanza that was last week or even the week before. We've had a couple pretty busy fab weeks. This one's just going to be, I think, more patching holes. But let's see. If we take a general look at the schedule for this coming week, the highlight, in my opinion, we've got an 8-game week for the Cincinnati Reds and the St. Louis Cardinals. They play a doubleheader on Monday. This is August 17th. So it's a 5-game set all in Great American Small Park. So that is quite nice. Then the Reds go to Arizona after that. But 8 games for your Reds and for your Cardinals. As we get to the Reds later on, it's like that sounds great, but who are we actually going to pick up? I saw you had a tweet earlier yesterday or whatever that, like, yeah, Luis Castillo looks like a Hall of Famer against the Reds. And
The Reds offense is bad right now.
It's bad. But they do get 8 games, 5 of which are at Great American Small Park. Against those Cardinals, you've got the Rockies at home for the entire week. They host the Dodgers and the Cleveland Guardians. Lefty heavy schedule, though, for the Colorado Rockies. So let's see. Zach Veen is going to be the highlight, I think, of Fab this week. That maybe throw a wrench in that one. Sacramento. There is no Sacramento this week. A's are on the road for 7. It's a great schedule. The A's are at Kansas City, at Houston, with a 9% strikeout minus walk rate for the pitchers facing the A's, six of which are right-handed righties, pitchers. Baby. So that's, you know where that's going. We do know where that's going. And but they're all on the road, but still, I think it's still a decent week for the A's. If you want to play that. So those are the highlights for me.
Yep, Ben. It's about, you said the 2-8s, and it's like 5 other teams with 7. It's a lot of 6s this week.
Yeah, so there's, well, yeah, Orioles 7. Orioles, Rays, White Sox, Royals, A's, Braves.
And that's it.
And that's it. So maybe 6 teams have 7 games, and then the rest are all 6 gamers.
So, yep, days off coming up, playing accordingly. Let's kick it off, as we always do, with the Baltimore Orioles. They have 7 games this week, but it's a wraparound series, folks. We love those. We get one against
Tampa.
Well, at least this one's a normal start time. It's 6:05 Eastern. The early games in Cincinnati. We will talk about that with a doubleheader. But the Orioles have 7 games this week, 1 at Tampa Bay, 3. It might not even be a wraparound, honestly. It might be a rainout. I apologize for that. Actually, I'll tell you right now, it is a wraparound. Okay, there you go. They play Tampa this weekend. So 1 at Tampa, 3 at home versus the Yankees, 3 at home versus Tampa. So they get Tampa for 4 games in 2 different ballparks this week. 2 lefties and 5 righties for the Baltimore Orioles, a team that I guess is hitting a little better, but as a whole, is nothing for me fantasy-wise.
Yeah, not really. Dylan Beavers is probably the only one who I'd at least look at in deeper leagues, just because he's hitting 5th most of the time against righties, homered this week. But still, in general, Dylan Beavers is pretty underwhelming. So that's all I have for the bats.
The one I will mention is, if you want power, ton. Tyler O'Neill's playing every day, righties and lefties. Since August 1st, he's hitting .276 with 3 homers. So if you're looking for pop, while he's healthy, you can go Tyler O'Neill's route. You're talking about good schedules. Not the most ideal schedule, but, you know, you got Will Warren, who we like to see on the docket, Freddie Peralta. Somehow Nick Martinez is still good, and Shane McClanahan's a question mark if he returns. So Tyler O'Neill will be another guy. If you want some power to stream for the week, he's not a bad outfield target for you.
Sure.
Anything on the pitching side of things when it comes to Baltimore? They're technically still looking for a 5th starter at the moment.
Seabass and the boys.
He comes back on Friday. My bad. Yeah, tomorrow.
Chris Bassitt returns on Friday against the Rays. It's been really bad for Chris Bassitt this season. Pre-injury, 56 innings, 6% strikeout minus walk. So I would need to see something out of Chris Bassitt Friday to even be somewhat interested in Fab. Bassitt would line up to face the Yankees next Wednesday, which is a decent matchup the way the Yankees are hitting of late. But still, I'd be very wary of Chris Bassitt, even though he is back and replacing Cade Povich, who was sent back down, which you called last week, I will mention.
Yep, I say he's up for 1. Bassitt's back. Hopefully we see Povich. I know he has his hiccups, but like, he's not that bad, folks. Like, you got to let the kid figure it out one way or another. That's another show for another day. Bullpen, Cano's still the leverage guy, the Tyler Wells role. Kittredge got the most recent save. So I think they both have leverage in your fantasy teams if you need saves, but maybe it's more Kittredge if that's what you're looking for. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been this way. We talked about this last week. If it's 50-50, 60-40, you're still going to get some saves out of Cano, some saves out of Kittredge. I'd lean Kittredge, but it's going to be a split for a team that, quite honestly, is pretty bad. So how many saves are you actually going to get out of these guys the rest of the way?
Yeah, and Kittredge is only 16% rostered in 12s, where Cano's 10%. So, yeah. Again, if you're looking for saves or you want to build them up for down the road, those are guys you can kind of look to on the waiver wire. All right, Boston Red Sox, 6 games this week at home. National League comes to town. 3 versus the D-backs, 3 versus the Giants for the Boston Red Sox. 2 lefties and 4 righties for literally one of the hottest offenses in all of baseball.
Yeah, and I still don't really know how or why, but your guy, Nick Sogard, still does not have a home run or a steal, Bubba. I'm sorry.
0 shares.
Okay. 0 shares. That's good. I don't know what we're doing in terms of pickups here. We've talked about Andrew Monasterio for the last few weeks, but
31%. You can still go there if you need to.
still go there if you need to. I feel like we've seen the best of Monastery at this point, but the skills are better this season. He is hitting eighth or fifth and playing shortstop pretty much every day. So that's an option for you. Adley's back off the IL this week. In shallow leagues, maybe you look at that. But in general, Boston doing their thing. Again, don't really know how, but they are.
Yep, and Masataka Yoshida will get four righties. So you can kind of go with it if you want for the batting average upside. He's leading off now too, so that helps a bit. Pitching side of things, I'm going to keep pounding the Patrick Sandoval drum. I know I'm usually alone on the show on that one, but Sandoval gets the Giants next week, so that still lines up to be a pretty sweet situation.
Right, and then after that start, it would likely be at the Yankees versus Seattle for Patrick Sandoval. Sandoval was featured on our Tuesday show where we looked at last 30-day skills and next three-week schedules, and he popped. So, yeah, Patrick Sandoval in our year 2026 is an option for you, a semi-decent option given he's looked decent and the matchups are pretty awesome.
They are very awesome. Let's head to the New York Yankees. Three games at Baltimore, three at home versus Toronto. Six righties in six games for the New York Yankees, which, you know what? Let me check the roster right before I get crazy. But, boy, oh, boy, he's up to 84%. But if you got on the Spencer Jones train, this is going to be a week for him, I think.
Yep, it's lefty streamer week. Obviously, you're starting Luis Garcia. We don't get paid the big bucks for that level of analysis, but you are starting Luis Garcia. You are, of course, starting Spencer Jones, picking him up if available. Do we draw the line at Ryan McMahon, Bubba?
Yeah,
we do.
I'm still not doing that.
Yeah, but it's a great schedule. I mean, any lefty, hell, Trent Grisham, he's turned things around a little bit lately. He is probably, yes, he is. No, he is 94%. But only 67% started in NFBC 12 teamers. So you can absolutely roll with Trent Grisham this week.
Yep, he is in play indeed. When we look at the rotation, they're kind of set in stone for now, which is interesting. Will Warren, actually, the one thing I'll say, never mind, cancel that thought. I think Will Warren, his days might be numbered right now because Carlos Rodon is set to make a rehab start, I believe, on Friday. And if all goes well, he returns next week. So
yeah, I think Rodon just got called up to AA, I think, for that rehab. So he's close.
Or maybe he might have made the start on Thursday. It's Thursday or Friday. And then if all goes well, he's supposed to return next week. So Will Warren's days might be numbered in this rotation.
I mean, he would have to be the one who,
yes,
unless they like do some kind of six man to save Weathers from a workload standpoint, but you can't remove any of the other four. You can't remove, obviously, Freed, Cole, or Schlittler. So, and you're not taking Weathers out.
Yep. Warren should be the odd man out on that one. I don't even know if odd man's the right word. It's just the obvious man on that one. So act accordingly. Tampa Bay Rays, seven games this week. That one wraparound game against Baltimore, then three at home versus Toronto, and then three at Baltimore. One lefty and six righties for your platoon happy Rays. So this is a week you can stream.
Yeah. Scratch that soft spot, wherever that may be. Cedric Mullins, very, very strong play. We liked Victor Mesa about a month ago. He had his time. He had his stretch. Are you interested in Victor Mesa Jr. in a six righty week?
In a six righty week with matchups like this, we're looking at an overall 10.4% K to walk. I know it was Sacramento, but Victor Mesa hit an absolute moonshot in their six home run game the other day. I'll take Victor Mesa in a week like this.
Absolutely. And then, Liam Hicks is their other lefty. He's probably not even a platoon, but you're starting him anyway. So good for the Rays that are so platoon heavy. Good to get these lopsided lefty righty weeks for them.
And then I just want to throw this out here. The Rays just signed Jorge Mateo and St. Carson Williams back to AAA. Not sure if Mateo will be in a platoon. Probably will because it's the Rays, but something to monitor because if he does start to play, I know it's fluctuating results, but he will run wild. So the Tampa likes to run. I could see Mateo running. Just something to keep in mind for the future.
Yep.
Pitching side of things, like I said, Shane O'Mac might be back pretty soon. Otherwise, they need a fifth starter for a little bit till Gavin Lux or Shane McClanahan returns. Griffin Jacks, sorry, or Shane McClanahan return. Anything on the pitching front?
No, I just PSA. Why is Freddie Peralta started in 79% of NFBC 12 teamers? Like, I think you can do better in 12s. Has not looked good with the Rays. doesn't look good for Freddy Peralta at all. You're basically starting him off of name value at this point. I'm not saying you have to drop him or anything like that, but I mean, maybe you could. I mean, I am talking to Captain Cut over here above me, but it's hard to roll Freddy Peralta out there every week, man.
Yeah, he hasn't been started for me in a long time. So I know he pitched really well in Sacramento. And one thing I have noticed, I think it was Nick Pollock or someone put the tweet out, it is two starts at the Rays, a lot less fastballs, a lot more changeups. So they are tweaking with him. So,
and that's why I'd be hesitant, like cut and move on. Like let's see if they can do something with Freddie. But right now, you got to have a really good start before I put him back in.
And this week, Freddie would be at Baltimore, which honestly is interesting. I probably still want to wait and see, but it's more of a coin toss than an automatic sit like it used to be.
Yeah.
All right, Toronto Blue Jays, 6 games on the road this week, 3 at Tampa, 3 at the Yankees, 3 lefties and 3 righties. It's 2 lefties in the first half of the week, 2 righties in the second half of the week. I don't think it matters the way their offense is, but what are your thoughts?
No, it does not really matter. I will give a shout to Andrés Giménez, who has been their best hitter over the last couple of weeks. And he's not totally a platoon guy, so the 3-3 split lefty-righty this week for the Blue Jays doesn't totally get me off of Andrés Giménez.
No, he's played the last 4 lefties.
Yep, so hitting well right now. If you need, I think he's 49-50% owned in 12-teamers, so you could look at Andrés Giménez up the middle if you need some help there.
Also, 5 steals over the last 2 weeks. I picked him up in my AC to get some speed help. So
there you go.
Yeah, big Andrés Giménez fan. So let's keep it going. First game on Monday at an RBI single and stole a bag right out the gate. I'm like, let's go. Hasn't done much since, but it's what we're looking for. Get some speed. Pitching side of things, they're going to need some help because the injuries are hitting them hard with Taillon going on the AL. Yesavage has knee surgery. He's out probably for the season. Arrigetti is supposed to throw a rehab start Friday or Saturday. He could return next week.
He was on the Jays. Jesus. Yeah, that's right.
That's the guy. Like they might use Simeon Woods Richardson for a spot start. That's the rumor on the street. I wouldn't be shocked if Arrigetti gets the call when he's ready to roll.
And yeah, I would much rather Arrigetti than Splitter Woods Richardson, who last 3 starts. Well, yeah, he pitched against Boston, but only 3 innings, 2 Ks, 1 walk.
He came in after Taillon left. Yeah.
He's bad. That's right. Yeah, Taillon got hurt. That's right.
So yeah, Arrigetti, would you be interested in picking up a Spencer Arrigetti? He had the walk issues before he got hurt, but we know the skills, what they can be, I guess, is what I'll say.
Yeah, in 15s. I don't think I'd do it in 12s.
That's fair. Chicago White Sox, they have 6 games this week, 3 at the Cubs, 1 makeup game at home versus Atlanta, and then 3 at home versus the Mets. So it's 2 lefties and 5 righties for the Chicago White Sox this week.
Are we flexing the bicep?
Oh, good. Yeah. I won't say no in 15s because he has his moments, but it is a hard platoon. So he will sit 2 games for sure. He will play 5, though. So I'll give you that.
That would be Andrew Benintendi for those wondering what the hell I'm talking about. I don't know. Yeah, Sam Antonacci, although he has led off against the last 2 lefties, he's been playing, leading off against the last 2 righties, but playing against lefties. So Antonacci, if you need speed, is an option. But that's about it. You could try and stream some Tristan Peters, especially the first half of the week. The first half of the week for the White Sox is much better schedule than facing that back half. So you could stream a Tristan Peters for the first half of the week and try and get lucky.
And I just want to point out, you know, Captain Cutts is coming to the room for a second, but a lot of people still like Braden Montgomery. That's a cool name, but the dude's not doing jack. He's hitting .229 with a homer and a steal since the break. He plays every game. That's fine. I get it. But I've seen his name too much, and he's 79% rostered, 45% started in OCs. He shouldn't be rostered in OCs is my point. So I would not roster him in 15s, to tell you the truth. But Braden Montgomery would be a guy that I think people need to wake up to and move on from.
Agreed.
Pitching side of things, I don't have a whole lot because Burke is rostered and the rest of them are suspect.
I mean, are you buying into the Luis Castillo thing, or are you just saying that's one start again? I mean, 10 Ks, that is something.
That's something. He's got a two-step. He's got a two-step at Cubs versus the Mets. In a 15, I can see it, especially for that Mets start. Cubs are terrifying, especially in Wrigley. Terrifying.
Yeah.
But in a 15, I could see it as a possibility, especially, like, I know it's kind of lazy, but it's that time of the year. If you're not worried about ratios, you just want counting stats, wins, and strikeouts. Well, a two-start, Luis Castillo is an option for you, for sure.
Okay, good.
Grant Taylor is widely rostered, but he looks to be the guy if anybody's curious. Cleveland Guardians, they have six games this week, three at home versus the Giants, three in Coors Field, one lefty and five righties. It's all righties in Coors this weekend.
Yeah, and this is like a dream schedule, right? Because it's the Giants pitchers are Wisenhunt, Hauser, and Landon Roop, which
probably, oh, good God.
Don't want to besmirch the name there, but then the three that's in fun. Coors, Michael Lorenzen, Hughes, and Sagano. Like, that is awesome. So get your Nathaniel Lowe, get your Travis Bazzana. I don't know. I could even get away with streaming Patrick Bailey, perhaps. Maybe it's a get right week for Brian Rocchio. This schedule is awesome for the, and I should mention Stephen Kwan. He's not a platoon guy, but he is a lefty and plays and leads off. So,
and Chase the Great is raking. So,
yep,
we're doing things here. And Joe Adell's homeward in a couple games now. So, yeah, this Guardians team, like I was talking about him, I think on leading off on Wednesday, their lineup that we used to make fun of, it's like seven or eight deep now. I guess what I'll ask you, because he did not get rostered very much this past week, and I know I butcher this, but it's kind of a running joke now. Angel, hey now, any thoughts on this pickup? He's playing every single day. He's still hitting .333 with a home run and a steal. Yep. He's hit safely in four out of seven games.
Yep, I continue to probably shouldn't have mentioned him. Continue to roll with he now. I got him over Culpepper and who the hell was the other guy? Lombard. Fab last week, just because I didn't bid enough, and he now was the third one that was available to me. So I'm certainly rooting for that. You did mention Joe Adell. This to me, like, so I'd still roll with Adell, and I think you hinted at this last week, but looked him up today against righties this season. Joe Adell has a 66 WRC plus. Mm-hmm. That is atrocious.
I pretty much cut him everywhere the last 2 weeks. I have zero shares, I think, now.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it's a righty-heavy week. It's a nice schedule for the Guardians, so I can see, you know, if you want to roll with Adell, but, like, this is, especially righty-heavy weeks for Cleveland, this is a Gene Segura-type thing, someone who is playing but doing nothing against righties right now.
100% agree with you on that. When it comes to pitching, Cleveland's locked and loaded, so not much to worry about on that one.
Have been all year.
Yep, it's pretty. That's why they're where they are. The Detroit Tigers, six games on the road, three at Pittsburgh, three at the Royals, two lefties and four righties for Detroit, who, looking at last 30-day numbers before the show with Ryan, Detroit is one of the hottest teams in baseball right now offensively.
Mm-hmm. And they find themselves 2.5 out of the Central, 36% chance to make the playoffs.
With some guy who's 0-2 in L.A. Like, what are we doing here?
That's right. I mean, the big news from this week was Riley Green on the IL, and it looks like they're going to try and patch that together with the combo of Corey Jolks and Trey Cruz, who I had to look up.
Trey Cruz just got called up today because James Outman got put on the concussion IL.
So, yeah, I'm not interested in either of those two. So I don't really have anything for ads for Detroit.
I don't have anything for ads either. I will mention it's really, really murky, but if you're looking for a little pop, Torque is swinging it well right now. I'll be totally honest with you. Since July 29th, so basically August 1st, it's just he was hitting this well. He's hitting .388 with a home run and 10 RBIs. He's only striking out 20% of the time. So it's basically a two-week sample. That's good enough to stream for the time being. This is where I'm going with this. And if he hits the skids, he's a super easy drop. But if you look at the Tigers this week, it's a pretty fair schedule against the Pirates and the Royals especially. So Torque is a guy that I'd be looking to. And while they're red hot, he's hitting in the middle of the order. And like I said, 10 RBIs in the last 2 weeks. I'd be keeping an eye on Spencer Torkelson right now.
Good call.
Pitching side, I still can't bring myself to Drew Anderson, but if you want to make a case for him, you can. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I don't. I was going to bring Drew Anderson up just because the skills do look pretty good and did pitch 4 innings, I believe, in his most recent start. I think gets the White Sox this coming Sunday. And then at least RotoWire has Jack Flaherty coming back. So Drew Anderson might not even have a spot if that happens. But if Drew Anderson lingers around, I could be interested in a start at the Royals this week. For him, the problem is he's got to go five, and is he stretched out enough to do that is the issue.
And what I will go with here is the Flaherty thing. I'm not sure, because like the latest report I saw on Tuesday, Jack Flaherty is increasing intensity, volume, and distance in his throwing. So unless he's not going to go on a rehab assignment, I think you're going to get that Royal start with Anderson.
Okay, and I'd be semi interested. I'd watch the Sunday start for Anderson. See how many innings he goes, how many pitches he throws. If it's not there, if he only goes 3 or 4 again, then move on. But and this is, I'm again only speaking kind of 15 teamers here, but
yes,
we're just trying to find anyone with a pulse, and the skills have been pretty good for him. So at least just see what he does on Sunday.
I will support those points you made, but yeah, the Flaherty thing has been really quiet. It's been really strange, so I would be surprised. Kansas City Royals, 7 games at home this week, 4 versus the A's, 3 versus the Tigers, 2 lefties, and 5 righties. For the Royals, who are kind of heating up, but I don't know if they have any fantasy relevance available.
Not really. I think the most relevant for like an ad is your guy, I think, John Rave. You picked him up.
He's not even
you?
Playing, though. That's the problem.
Well, because they've played left. He's a platoon, and they've played four lefties in a row. True. So it's a five righty week.
Then he's back. You're right.
Then he's back. Okay.
My bad. The rave is on. The rave is on. Let's go. Crack the sticks.
Come on. Glad you didn't finish that sentence. Yeah, I mean, in a five ready week, that's probably why you picked him up, Bubba. Like,
you got it. He
may not be very good. He may be old. He may be somewhat journeyman, but hitting really well at AAA this season, especially lately for John Rave. So I'd be interested in a 15 teamer.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you there. I missed that point of the platoon situation, which is a very astute point that you just made. And that's why I do roster him on a few teams. So yes, you are correct. Pitching side of things, Dobnek got that regression came at him in his last start. Surprise, surprise. But right, he gets the Angels on Saturday, so we'll see if that gets fans back in the groove. And next week, what's Dobnek get? He gets the road A's, which is kind of a coin toss. So I still have zero.
No,
I keep talking about it. I have zero shares. I can't do it.
Oh, A's. Oh, sorry. He is at home against the A's.
Yes, he gets the road A's.
Yes. Yeah. And then Toronto after that, if he's still around. I don't know, man. I just don't think Dobnak's good. That's the problem. So
the one I do want to be kind of curiously interested in is Daniel Lynch. As they stretch him out. I know it's been two, it got up to 2 1/3 innings. He's allowed 3 earned runs in both goes, but it's one of those, like, the skills are very good with Daniel Lynch. The transition of the rotation, will they be, is the question. And it's one of those, like, you kind of have to go grab him now before he's fully stretched out. Otherwise, he'll cost a kill. Someone else will give him, essentially, is where I'm going with that. So would you be interested in a Daniel Lynch? It just could be fool's gold, but it's like a pure speculation move.
I mean, the pieces are there. He's missing bats, 13% swing strike for Daniel Lynch. Decent control, good ground ball rate. You always like that. Yeah, like you said, the key is not only can he stretch out, but can those skills hold up over a stretched out version? And I still think Lynch has a ways to go.
Yeah. It's like he's got the A's, the Tigers this week. I probably wouldn't even start him, but you roster him because like next week's the Guardians, following week's Toronto, who's not good. Arizona destroys lefties, so that's a tough one. But it's just more of a kind of a look ahead. Do you want a stat? Like, do you need extra pitching down the road? That's where I'm going.
Could be someone who's useful for you in September.
Exactly. And you have to kind of pay for that this week or next week at the latest is what I'm thinking.
Yep, I hear you. All right.
Pitching side, though, this is interesting because I think Steven Cruz is really, really good. I think the Royals do, too, because he's been their highest leverage arm. I've watched the pitch 7th, 8th, and 9th. And it's usually, if it's 7th or 8th, it's usually like 2 through 5 or like it's somewhere in the middle of that order. And Nate Pearson has been cleaning up the mess. And Pearson looks awesome, Ryan. When I saw him pitching Tuesday night, he blew one past Otani in the 9th before it went extras. I think Nate Pearson is on the table.
Yeah. I I don't know. I didn't see that outing. The skills look pretty bad for Nate Pearson this season. He's got
shrink down your size.
Yeah. Well, what?
Like last, like do you like last month or something?
No, I was doing some phrasing.
I know. I got you too. Phrasing.
I think I don't even know if I'd pick up Pearson. It's more like the actionable part is like, what do you do if you have Steven Cruz? You know, yeah, are you gonna keep rolling him out there? I probably am, but the problem is like again, size of the pie. I mean, the Royals are. They're a bad team, dude. They're 49-73. Like, I don't know how many saves you're going to get out of this team. And then if it's split, it's rough. So I think it's a more like if you spent up for Steven Cruz a couple weeks ago in Fab and you know, Pearson gets another save, it's like, what are you doing holding on to Steven Cruz?
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of thinking, honestly, I have a lot of Steven Cruz. I'm kind of debating dropping him for Nate Pearson, to be totally honest.
Interesting. But
that's okay. Where my brain's at, because I think Cruz will still get his, but I think Pearson gets the same or more the way their thing's going. And again, it might not be a ton of saves to your point, but the first half of the week, those four games versus the A's, I think the Royals have a legit chance to win two out of three of those, give or take. The Tigers series is a tough one at the end of the week, but we have seven games is my point. We're going to see both of them get shots late in a game this week.
So, maybe.
Yeah.
That assumes the Royals can compete in a game.
Yeah, we don't have Gialdi in the chat to tell us no, so that's a good thing. Yeah. Minnesota Twins, six games this week, three at home versus Atlanta, three at San Diego, two lefties and four righties for the Minnesota Twins as they take off from Iowa tonight to fly in and do the rest of their games and then get ready for next week. So what do you got for two lefties, four righties, Minnesota?
Let's see. We've got Byron Buxton back from the IL. A little concerned about Kalen Culpepper's playing time. It's kind of some
bit wonky.
Yeah, just random off days in Wednesday from Wednesday and Sunday. Like, you don't like that if you just spent on Kalen Culpepper. I'm not sure what you can do about it. You're not dropping or anything, but would like to see everyday playing time for Culpepper, especially because he was called up before the whatever 45-day limit. So unless they send him back down or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know what's going on there. It's weird.
Yeah, hopefully they stop that is what I'd like to say. But I don't know if they're going to. Other than that, I have nothing when it comes to the Twins. Josh Bell, 63% rostered if you want to go there. He's streaking again right now. That's what he does.
Yep.
So if you want to roster him, not going to be opposed to it. Royce Lewis, just give him a hat tip. He's widely rostered. He's actually played really well over the last month or so. So that's been a joy to see. Also,
just in time for the meatball draft.
Yep. Dom will take him in the second round or something this year. Starting rotation, the Deans looked really well his last two starts. I'll give him that. And the pitch mix has changed with Minnesota.
Good turnaround lately for the Dean. The Dean gets Philadelphia this weekend, and then it would be at the Padres versus the White Sox for the Dean's next two starts. I think we can get back on the Dean train. It looked really bad there for a few starts and to the point where it's like, oh, what's wrong with this guy? Nice to see Dean Kramer turn that around. We've got Zebby Matthews back in our lives. I'm shaking my head as I say that. Joe Ryan on the aisle. Have we heard any Joe Ryan news? I know he's talked a little bit about him being a drop, but
he's throwing from flat ground. That's what he's doing. He has a glute injury, and one of the reports I saw, actually, because people were all, oh, great, he's already throwing, he'll be back by the end of the next week when he's available, and maybe he is, maybe he will be, but one of the reports actually said something that made a lot of sense, that your glute is what you need to push off the rubber at that angle. On flat ground, you don't need to use your glute that much, if that makes sense. What like the mechanics of a pitcher. So right now, throwing on flat ground keeps his arm good to go. Doesn't mean he can pitch yet. So we got to see a few things still.
That was good. I'm here for more Bubba glute analysis.
Yeah, you really teed that one up, and I'm going to move on to the next subject real quick. But
damn it, I tried. That was pretty. I tried.
That was really good. If this was FPAS on a Friday evening at about, I would add a demonstration in the freaking bar for you on that one. But
that would clear it out pretty quick.
Oh, you're talking glutes. I can clear out a room. all right, let's go to the AL West, the Sacramento Athletics.
Real quick, sorry, just one last thing. If you have Jeff Hoffman, I think you can move on. Yoandis Gomez seems to still be the guy. So
that's good all. Good point on that one. The A's have 7 games this week, like you mentioned, on the road, 4 at the Royals, 3 at the Astros. 1 lefty and 6 righties for the A's. RIP Nick Kurtz out for the season. They said more than likely. So, like, you do the math, he's in a splint for 4 more weeks. So, mid-September, he has to ramp back up. Yeah. He's done. They have no reason to push that. So, he's gone. But, Geloff's back in my life. God, is he a beautiful specimen. There was 6 righties on tap. Jeff McNeil is on the table again, folks, if you feel the need to tilt Ryan and watch
against a righty
smile.
Today.
You needed a day off. Day game after
he's
night.
He's old. Yeah, it's true.
Day game after night.
He's
game.
Old. I got you.
It's fine. You and I both need a lot of time to get going in the morning. I don't blame him one bit.
Yeah, unfortunately, my kids don't give me that time, but whatever.
The Law Dog is raking. He should be widely rostered by now, but
yeah. What about the Sea of Cortez? Cortez.
I still can't. He's been so bad. I know it's a week that sets up beautifully for him. Not going to deny. I know where you're going with this. And if you really want to roll the dice, knock yourself out, I'm not going back to that one.
Okay. I don't think I am either. I'm looking at Carlos Cortez's recent production, and oh my God.
It's bad. It's horrific.
He was one of the better hitters in baseball when he looked really good at the beginning.
Yeah, it's completely derailed.
Yeah,
like I don't find any glimpse of positivity in that situation right now. So I'd stay away from that. And then otherwise, dude, this is why I was saying, like, you can the road streams against the A's. Donovan Walton, like, Bolte's actually been better the last like week or two, but still not great. It's a good but rough lineup at the same time.
Yeah, and without Kurtz, it's a major hit.
Now, we're on the road this week, so I want to bring up a few things if anybody wants to give me a second here. The pitching situation here, Mason Barnett's still out. Does Jack Perkins with a two-step interest you at all?
Oh, God.
It doesn't for me, but I want to bring it up.
No, I don't. But the problem is, it's not a great two-step. It's the Royals part is nice. At Houston's tougher. I don't think so, no.
Okay. Then what I'll mention, they're widely rostered already, but Jacob Lowe is only 43% rostered. Please pick him up. That would be a definite thing. He's been great. I have a tweet that's supposed to go, either already went out or it's going out, of how good he's pitched over like the last month. It's been insane. So Jacob Lopez, make that happen. And then start your gauge jumping your JTGN on the road this week. I'll throw that out there.
Yeah, covered it well. I'll echo Jacob Lopez. Shout out Chris Torres, who kind of called that last week, maybe 2 weeks ago at this point. Still has one more step in that home two-step. But Jacob Lopez has looked really good lately, missing a ton of bats. He was featured on our Tuesday show with best skills over the last 30 days. So a well-deserved shout out there for Jacob Lopez. And yeah, 43% in 12-teamers is too low.
Yep, too low.
Make like, are you? Would you rather start Jacob Lopez or Freddy Peralta right now?
Oh, Jacob Lopez in a heartbeat. Don't even think about that.
Exactly, and
that's easy.
And Peralta's much more widely started.
Agreed. I would also mention Hollywood Hogan has been awesome, and he's 42% rostered.
Again, if we were a professional outfit, we should have that NWO music for Hollywood Hogan.
Just the little guitar coming out and painted on beard. I'd have a black beard right now. Oh yeah, with a skullet wig. Oh, think about this.
Rip your shirt off. How about
maybe
that?
Live in FPAS? I'll come out for the show in a Hollywood Hogan outfit. I had an NWO shirt when I was in like junior high. I used to be a hardcore wrestling fan. I still don't mind throwing it on as background noise because it's dumb entertainment. But
yeah,
during the Attitude Era, I was all about that life. Okay. Oh yeah, you hear that?
I was big into it, but it was pre Attitude Era. I was out by then.
Oh, I grew up watching it, and then I really got into it. Yeah, so good stuff. Yes, we could. Yeah, maybe in the offseason we could have an episode about that, but we'll see. Houston Astros, 6 games this week, all at home, 3 versus the Angels, 3 versus the A's. Really good hitting matchup for the Astros. They get 1 lefty and 5 righties.
Right. Great week, great matchups for the Astros. I just, the problem is I don't know who you pick up.
Taylor Trammell.
Yeah.
He's playing really well of late. He's getting all the playing time versus righties in that platoon. He's rotating around left and right field, depending on who gets to DH here and there. And this could be, again, just like a Torkelson thing. It's going to be a streaky situation But basically over the last 2 weeks, when you're looking at Mr. Taylor Trammell, 250 average, but it's four homers, 11 runs, eight RBIs. Like, he's walking almost 17% of the time. So it's a 15 team, slight 12 team, just because it's really good matchups this week. If that's what you want to look at, he's going to play five games most likely. But a Trammell is a guy you could stream for at least this week while he's swinging it well.
Okay.
Other than that, I agree. The Astros are pretty widely rostered all over the board. Pitching. Wesneski's looked good. Javier, not so much. Blanco, not so much. What are you doing with this rotation?
Really nothing. I mean, you're rolling Wesneski out there. You're rolling Lambert out there. Blanco and Javier, right. Like, you, do you still have Blanco in your AC?
I dropped him the very next week for Hayden Wesneski.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I never even got to use Blanco. I just dropped him right away and picked up Wesneski. Yeah, I don't care.
We know you're ruthless with the cuts, but it's just because you spent on a guy the week before doesn't mean you can't drop him the following week.
And as Mr. Grouch says, next week we get Wesneski versus Jacob Lopez. That's a nice
there you go.
For fantasy players, that's like we'll enjoy that game way more than most probably will.
Very small percentage of the population is excited about that one, but you and Mr. Grouch are.
Yeah, most definitely. All right, Los Angeles, Angels of Anaheim, six games on the road. Hell, Edwin Diaz blown save in the ninth. God, you love to see it. One out and they're still threatening.
Not over, yeah. It could be worse.
He's still in trouble. Six games on the road for the Angels, three at Houston, three at Texas, two lefties and four righties for the Halos.
All right. I don't have much on the hitting side.
It's Moises Ballesteros and his catcher eligibility. That's it.
Yeah.
It's Bo Bala. And it's not like crushing it yet, but we know the skills are there. And it's a catcher that plays every single day. So that gets an extra star on the prize sheet. But that's about it when it comes to the offense for the Angels.
Agreed.
Anything on the pitching side?
Just for completeness, we didn't mention George Klassen because we recorded last week a little bit early.
So good.
Did get called up. I don't know, man. He walked three or four in his first start back.
Pitched great last night, though. Great last night.
Yeah, one walk last night. True.
Six innings. So. Looked really good.
And the control looked better for Klassen near the end of his minor league stint. So what I thought was a pretty clear step back his first, especially he was at Miami. He's like, need to pitch better. But did pitch better versus Texas. And Klassen, what's Klassen's 12? He's got to be super low.
He's basically free.
He's nothing.
Yeah, 0%
available. Yeah.
No. Everywhere you want him. Being an OCA, it will come free. Your 15s will be a little different. But yeah, I love Klassen, and I wrote about him a couple times before he got called up. And he gets a two step at Houston two-step. At Texas this week. Like, that's really solid. Like, it's going to be rocky at times, but he has improved the command a lot at AAA. And so hopefully that continues to carry over from that last start, to your point.
Yep.
So I like that. Keep an eye on Grayson. It's still full tilting, but the strikeouts are there right now. And so there might be a world where he starts to become streamable. I'm not there in that world yet, but I'm just saying keep an eye on Grayson. It might click here soon enough is what I'm thinking.
I will watch that from the sideline.
All right. Are we on the Ben Joyce train? finally got the save. Natera got the save the other night. Wasn't available on Wednesday when Joyce got the save, but
right.
I think we all know Ben Joyce is the future closer they've always wanted.
Yeah, my lean would be Joyce. Like, if they have shown the willingness to throw Joyce in the ninth, even with Natera not available, it's like, why not just do it? You're going to eventually, that's in your plan anyway to do it. So why not keep doing it? Problem is, Natera has been freaking incredible this season. So I don't know. I would lean.
Joyce won't go back to back.
Correct. Right. He's just coming back. So it's one where, like, I don't know. It's similar to, like, the Baltimore situation. I don't even know how I'd rank Natera and Joyce versus, like, Kittredge and Cano. The Angels are a terrible team. So it's just like, how many save ops are we getting here?
Yeah. And then you throw Kansas City into that mix. Gets even more entertaining. But,
yeah, true.
Like, if I had to do those three teams, I'd probably go Joyce, Kittredge, the Terra, Pearson, Cruz, Cano.
Okay. I think
it's inexact science, but that's where
we're bringing it.
So have fun, everybody. All right. Seattle Mariners, 6 games this week, 3 at Milwaukee, 3 at home versus the Cubs, 4 lefties and 2 righties for the Mariners. Good Lord. That's going to make things interesting in that platoon. And it's already a bad offense. Like, this is not good.
They're so bad. They beat the Yankees 1-0 today off of a Weston Wilson home run. Like, are you kidding me? Like, even when they win, it's pathetic.
Yep. I'm not going to poke the bear on this one. It's bad. But they called up Brock Rodden, and sent Colton Emerson back to AAA.
Yeah, which is kind of weird, but like the timing of it. I like Leo Rivas started at shortstop today. JP Crawford will be back at some point, but yeah, you're not adding any Mariners right now.
I will say if Rodin plays two out of 3 games this week, and I'm interested.
I don't know if he will, though, is the thing. Yeah, but yeah, maybe.
I'd watch it because I've written him up a couple times over the last month. He's hit like 262, 19 homers, 8 steals at AAA, switch hitter. There's skills there. And he's like the 19th ranked prospect in the Mariners system, which might not be great because it's not a great system. But I think at the playing times there, he's definitely better than Rivas. But yeah, he's strictly a 15, I'll tell you that much. But keep that on the radar. Pitching, I got nothing when it comes to the Mariners pitching, unless you do.
Nope.
Texas, 6 games, all at home, 3 versus Washington, 3 versus the Angels, 4 lefties and 2 righties for the Texas Rangers.
All right, Texas, tough week to jock jams with just the 2 righties. So,
but don't drop them.
But don't drop them. Never drop jock jams. Ever. I don't have any ads for the Rangers. Pretty bad.
Yeah, there's really nothing to add when it comes to the Rangers, especially with the platoon situation this weekend, because their righties, strictly righty platoon guys, aren't that great. So nothing to worry about there. The scary thing is the pitching, because Eovaldi's on the IL, probably done for the year. DeGrom's likely to hit the IL, I'm imagining. I'd be shocked if he doesn't, because he left with a triceps injury on Thursday. And he's got glute problems as well. So maybe he's compensating.
Oh, here we go.
He was compensating for his poor glute and pulled his tricep. You know, when you try to do too much in that position, it affects that position.
That's what we need the demo of at the bar at first pitch. The glute affecting the tricep.
Yes, which eventually affects the elbow and either reattach or Meister go for the consult. But yeah, if you go full circle, Eno could probably be one of the doctors, I'd imagine. And he'll be ready by about 10:30. All right. So with that being said, I'm thinking Jomo gets put in the rotation, and that's something I don't want people to roster.
No, you don't want Jomo. I saw he pitched tonight. I don't have the line in front of me. I'm just going to assume it wasn't good. But no, you don't want Jordan Montgomery in your life.
And I know Cody Bradford was a popular pickup for the two-step this past week. He gets the Angels next week. So he's only 33% rostered. He could probably go that direction if you want.
Jomo gave up 4 runs in 2 innings, 6 hits today.
Yeah, that's not going to cut it, folks. But you interested in Cody Bradford versus the Angels?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I really like Cody Bradford.
And then other than that, I still love Kumar Rocker. He's got the Nationals this week, so be careful.
Agreed. Yep.
Anything else on Texas?
Nope.
Let's head to the National League. The Atlanta Braves have 6 games this week. 3 at Minnesota, 1 makeup game at the White Sox, 3 at the Brewers. So 7 games on the road, 3 different cities for the Braves, 2 lefties and 5 righties.
It's not great in terms of ads. You could maybe look at Mike Yastrzemski, just because it is 5 righties, 3 that first half of the week. But I don't know. Austin Riley's been better, but he's widely rostered. I don't have any ads, I don't think. Unless you want Jim Jarvis.
Nope. No, I want nothing to do with the offense ad wise when it comes to Atlanta. But pitching wise, Tyler Molle, folks. Tyler Molle. I'm on board, dude, since July 1st or something like that. It's a sub-3 ERA, a near 20% K to walk. He's looked really good in his 2 Brave starts. It's basically been one bad start out of his 7. Tyler Molle is a guy I think that you could at least bench stream the rest of the way.
Agreed. Yeah. Tyler Molly's looked much better lately. So I think that's a good call. He's only 31. I feel like Tyler Molly should be like 38.
And I want to preface something as well. If you look on RotoWire, they have Ronaldo Lopez back taking Tyler Molly out of the rotation. I don't think that's happening when they traded for Tyler Molly, folks, especially when reports came back. Especially reports came back and said Lopez threw a bullpen on Wednesday. They haven't decided if he needs a rehab start yet. Would be nice bullpen help to the team. So I think Tyler Molly's sticking around. And if he does, that's a two-step at Minnesota and at Milwaukee next week.
Which is pretty nice. Like you're throwing that the way Tyler Molly's pitching.
Yes. I just want to clarify that for those that just look at because even on your grid, Molly won't come up because of those situations.
I was looking for his opponents and he was not coming up
because I heard the keyword. So what about Martin Perez though?
What are his matchups? I mean, that just strictly, that's true.
Minnesota at Milwaukee.
Yeah. And then following that road Rockies. So 15 teamer, of course.
All right. See, you said this is going to be a slow week. I'm getting names.
Yeah. No, there's some that the pen, I can see the pen's been active over there.
The pen is mightier. The Miami Marlins have six games this week, three at Philadelphia, three at home versus the Nationals, two lefties and four righties for a Marlins team that lost Kyle Stowers, which has Griffin Conine supposed to be playing first. I say supposed to because you all know how the Marlins roll. Estuary has played two out of the last three. That's a plus. The Goose is getting kind of regular playing time. What's your thoughts on this whole floating situation?
Estuary Ruiz, man. Good hell. If he could, yeah, I won't go. I've said that many times, but the Goose one is interesting to me, right? Catching pretty much half the time lately, which I'm a little surprised at. I thought they would hold and have Joe Mack back there with Goose just every now and then. And maybe that's just a result of the last few games. But that one's interesting. Are you interested in the Goose in 12 teamers?
12's probably not. 15's, he's with the playing time looking
you
like
have
this
to in could, 15's, yeah.
Could be quite interesting. He still hasn't really produced anything yet, but and he wasn't at AAA. That's why it's
also an issue.
Yeah, so it's tricky, but it's a guy we know can and can run. So if the playing time stays there in 15's, he could make the catcher too. In 12's, he's not really an option. And I am confused that maybe Joe Mack is just late in the year. Let's let these guys kind of chill. I don't know.
Could be.
But yeah, Estuary is 49% rostered in 12s. I think we got to go back to that. Well,
I don't know, I guess with Stowers on the IL, right? That helps. But, four starts a week from Estuary Ruiz is enough. The problem is he hasn't even been getting that. So
yep.
Who the hell knows?
And Stowers should be out for at least 4 weeks. So he's going to get some run, hopefully. All right, pitching side of things. Anything doing it for you with the Marlins? Because not for me.
Is you're not going to try and convince me on Tyler Phillips?
No, again? I'm over that. I'm over trying to convince you on that. I've convinced you on a couple other moves tonight. I'm not going to press my luck on that one.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. The New York Mets, six games this week, three at home versus the Padres, three at the White Sox, one lefty and five righties for the Metropolitans.
Yeah, so I mean, on paper, you'd like their lefties, but it's Brett Beatty and Jared Young. Jared Young's been a little better lately. Yeah. So you could roll with Jared Young if you need some corner infield help in 15s, but for me, that's it.
That's all I got as well. And on the pitching side of things, I will not be Robert Stocking anything. So no. Don't. We've already had a question in the Patreon about that. That is not happening. So I got nothing when it comes to pitching for the Mets unless you got a closing situation you'd like to discuss.
Yeah, there is coal in that stocking, so don't go there. Closer situation, right, with Devin Williams out. Cody Senga got the save on Monday. We mentioned Senga on the Tuesday news and notes portion of the episode. I think it's only been like four relief appearances for Cody Senga, but they've been pretty damn good, and saves are saves, so... Like, I might be more interested in Senga than any of the Orioles, Twins, Royals closers that we were talking about earlier.
I'd have him behind Ben Joyce.
Okay.
Until we get a better timeline on Devin and a better clarity on the Mets bullpen.
I'm just assuming Devin's like done for the season, but
I am. But then they're also saying he's going to be out the minimum because they're the Mets and they want to give us false news.
Well, I'm like, why? I mean, but why?
Why would they bring? I agree. I agree with all of that. But
I'm paying him a ton, like the season's done. I just, I don't think there's any other competition in the Mets bullpen with Senga. Like I think he is the guy. Like I would have him over Joyce right now.
Okay. I'm not. Hey, if he gets the job, I wouldn't blame you for that. So that's very much an option.
It could blow up, and it very much.
Well, if we're talking about, we talked about four teams so far with openings in the bullpen. They're obvious. Again, what's the Mets piece of the pie look like?
I know.
No, I'm just saying, like they're all bad teams, so it's all kind of a like I'm running a pure with Jordan Romano right now. Can any one of these guys pull that stunt off? That's the same roll of the dice. That's all I'm trying to say. Yep. So. All right, Philadelphia Phillies, six games at home this week, three versus Miami, three versus St. Louis, one lefty and five righties for the fighting Phils.
For the, what week is this, Fab Review 22? For the 22nd week in a row, I have nothing on the hitters.
I was literally about to say rinse and repeat on this one. I got nothing on the pitchers either, unless you want some Andrew Painter in your life, which is kind of intriguing.
That's who I was going to bring up, was Andrew Painter, as kind of intriguing. I'm pulling up his game log. It's been a little bit better lately. One walk in August 5th start against the Nats. Three walks. It's always the walks with Andrew Painter in his most recent start at the Cardinals. Upcoming schedule for Painter would be at Minnesota. That's this weekend. But then versus St. Louis, at the Angels, at Arizona. Like it's a very nice schedule in terms of matchups for Andrew Painter. So I think in 15 teamers, you can be interested there.
Yep, I fully agree. I think Painter, another one of those guys you can keep a look at and stream in the right matchups. There might be some skills developing there, finally.
Yep.
Nationals, six games on the road, three at Texas, three at Miami, six righties for the Nationals. Abimelech Ortiz, he's hitting home runs everywhere, and he gets six righties.
Yeah. Yes. Lock and load. This one was shocking to me. 7% owned in NFBC 12 teamers.
Yep. People just, it's that time of the year, man. I'm telling you, if I showed you my list of Fab results every week in 12 teamers,
you've talked about it. Yeah.
There was one league I remember telling Ben that I think Culpepper and Haynau didn't even get added out of the big three last week. Yeah. Just, I don't know.
It's nuts. But yeah, I was shocked to see Abby Ortiz just a 7% in 12 teamers. He needs to be added for not only this week, but assuming the Nats get somewhat regular right-handed pitching, Abby Ortiz hitting second.
Yeah, he gets six this week. He gets six again the next week. He gets, three out of three the following week, and then potentially another five or six. So, yeah, Abby's got some runway ahead of him. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
So enjoy that one. What else you got for the Nats? Because it seems like the rest of them are pretty much doing their thing.
Yeah, I'll say Jacob Young.
If you need, bad. I am really surprised. Jacob Young, he finally got added more in 15s this past week. I think people finally woke up to the batting average and stolen bases, but in 12, still widely available for sure.
Jacob Young hitting .381 over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's been awesome. Very awesome. Nationals, Andrew Alvarez is getting stretched out. Jackson Kent made his debut. Walks were an issue, but still pretty electric stuff on the mound. Either of those lefties intrigue you?
Jackson Kent does. Jackson Kent intrigues me a little bit. Upcoming matchups for him are at Texas. So, that's this week. It's a two-step at Texas, at Miami, and then versus Miami versus the Braves.
It's pretty sweet.
Jackson Kent, strikeouts in AAA were nice. Numbers overall were pretty decent. I don't have massive expectations for someone with like middling prospect pedigree in his first go around in the majors, but it's a pretty nice schedule. I'm interested in 15 teamers for Jackson Kent.
And I'll add to the Andrew Alvarez because I agree on Kent. Alvarez gets Texas this week, but the next week is lined up for the Road Rockies and the Marlins. Two-step.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So, these are the kind of guys you can, and again, they're both volatile. That's why they're still available this time of the year in a lot of leagues. But these are the kind of guys you look to stream and see if you can strike gold. And both of them are very, very much on the radar for those.
Yep.
And Beater continues to be the closer, man. It's wild. But that's the Nationals for you. Chicago Cubs, they have 6 games on tap this week. 3 at home versus the White Sox, so they stay in town. And 3 at Seattle, 6 righties for the red-hot Alex Bregman-led Chicago Cubs.
Triple dong for Bregman. That was beautiful. I got nothing for ads for the Cubs. They're awesome, and they've been hot, and thus they are pretty much all of them are rostered.
Yeah, pitching side of things are pretty much all rostered too. I will say Jacob Webb, do not give up on him because Palencia has not looked good, and I'm not sure he takes the job back when he gets back.
Agreed. That was the note I had for the Cubs, was Jacob Webb looks really good right now, and exactly, given Palencia's just all the questions surrounding Palencia, like, Webb could hold this job the rest of the way.
And last year when Palencia came back from the IL, Council kept Keller as the closer when he came back. So it's been done before.
So yeah.
Keep that in mind. Cincinnati Reds have 8 games, as we talked about earlier, 5 at home versus the Cardinals, 3 at the D-backs, 4 lefties and 4 righties for the Reds this week. So, oof.
Yeah, like you, I, any other team, I'd like to have 8 games. I don't know who you.
Dude, they called up Michael Toglia this past week from AAA. Like, right. What
did
are we
not,
doing?
Did not realize he was in the Reds organization.
I thought he was in like the KBO or something by now.
Yeah, it hasn't been a great start for Hector Rodriguez. He was, no. I don't even want to say widely picked up last week, but he was a fab target last week. But I don't even know if I'd go there. It's a 4-4 split. So, like, I don't know, man. I don't know who you add at off the Reds. Like, Dane Myers had a little bit of run there, but he's fallen back to earth. I don't see anything.
There's nobody I pick up. It's the guys that are already rostered. You play them, and otherwise just move on.
That's it. No, Elvi Marte hasn't started in the last 4 righties. Yeah. So, like, whatever.
It's bad. Bad across the board. And then on the pitching side of things, RIP Hunter Green, we'll see in 2028, because he's missing the whole 2027 season after Tommy John surgery. The rotation and the bullpen, I have nothing.
Only thing I'll say with the bullpen is Emilio Pagan didn't pitch today in a save situation, hasn't pitched since Tuesday, and I think has only pitched once like the last 10 days.
Yeah.
It's
weird.
It's just weird. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. But if you have Pagan, you need saves, maybe at least look at some of these other closers. Yeah, we've talked about this show. give yourself some backup there, because I don't know, man. It's just really weird.
Yeah, it's a good point. I saw Jeff Erickson tweet about that, and I wouldn't have noticed. It takes a Reds fan to notice those kind of things, but
astute observation from it. That is where I did see it. Erickson, yep.
I don't know if it's like, and the thing is, I don't even want to speculate. Is it TJ Anton? I don't even want
to
speculate.
No, go to the other 3 or 4 teams' bullpens that we've talked about before the Reds, in my opinion.
Agreed.
And don't drop Pagan.
No.
Yet or anything. I mean, just give yourself a backup plan. You gotta be one step ahead.
Yeah, wait for some news on that. Milwaukee Brewers have 6 games at home this week after just coming from behind and beating the Dodgers in LA. 3 against Seattle, 3 against Atlanta, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Love how you threw that one in. You enjoyed that 9th inning, didn't you?
That was glorious.
It was pretty sick.
Like, God, you can't dream of much better there.
Roberts just looked furious. Looked
like the little rat that he is.
I knew that was coming. Hell yeah.
Not changing the bullpen. Nothing to worry about here. Nothing to see here. It's that GIF with the fire burning behind him. Nothing to see here. We're good.
Tanner Scott, clean 8th. Hold on to those Tanner Scotts.
I've been saying that every freaking time Diaz takes them out. Don't drop Tanner Scott.
Yeah, he's on Bubba's AC team. So surely to reascend into the 9th at some point.
8 more saves to go for Tanner Scott this year, folks. Mark it.
Yeah. back to the Brewers with the 5 righties. You're kind of interested in like maybe Garrett Mitchell, but like he's been bad. The lefties have been bad. Yelich has been bad. I know Luis Lara is a switch hitter, but he's kind of been a strong side platooner. He's been awful, so I don't know what you do here. You could add David Hamilton for bags, but
that's it. That's the only guy. Yeah, Hamilton is a speed play this week. And again, this time of the year, that's kind of plays we make. And at least he'll play, unlike Estuary Ruiz. So you got that going for you. But, Hamilton is not a bad stream for that kind of situation. Now to the rotation, the 6-man rotation. all rostered though, so I got really nothing else for you there. But well, they should be. Let me double check something. Yeah, Gasser's down to 57%, but I think it's staying this way, and it might be a five-man rotation because I'm still waiting news on Kyle Harrison.
Yeah, just a lot of injury smoke with Harrison this season, previous seasons, whatever. But yeah, be ready to have a backup in place if you have Kyle Harrison, just because, yeah, just, I don't know, something seems off there, but agreed. If Harrison gets hurt again or whatever, is out of the rotation, it just goes from six-man to five-man. So you've still got Drohan Gasser in there with Dustin May, Logan Henderson, and the Miz.
Yeah, because Harrison's velocity is almost 2 miles an hour slower. Like, yep. It was bad, really, really bad. But that's all I got from Milwaukee. Pretty straightforward there. Pittsburgh, 6 games, 3 at home versus Detroit, 3 at the Dodgers, 3 lefties and 3 righties for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
All right. So just another Esmerlin Valdez, just struggling. Segura watch. So just
a couple,
just
hit, couple hits this week, at least. So we got that going for us. Couple
hits this week. So that's where we're at there.
Hey, 3 out of his last 4 games. Hey, because it was that bad. That's why I'm saying that.
Looking for anything.
Yeah, it was real bad for a second there.
Your boy, Andy Rodriguez, another back to the IL.
IL.
Tough hip. So we got Henry Davis back there. I like. Is Henry Davis a glute?
No, I said the hip. He's almost to the glute.
Oh, almost to the glute. Okay.
Yeah.
God, it's the glute episode.
Yep.
It's okay. I liked Ronnie Simon. Wasn't really talked about a whole bunch in like Fab last week, but I like Ronnie Simon. I just, especially for steals, when O'Neill Cruz comes back, I just don't know if the playing time will be there for Ronnie Simon. So we'll see. But I like the speed profile there.
I will say this much when it comes to Cruz. The first 3 games, 0-for-8 with like 5 strikeouts. And that was like Tuesday, and he was supposed to get reevaluated, and I haven't heard a peep since then. So I'm on the skeptical mindset of something setback might have taken place with O'Neill Cruz, but that's just my kind of negative brain these days.
Sure.
Hitting our pitching side of things, it's pretty much business as usual, except the bullpen. We still don't know. Like, Luke Weaver has barely pitched since he's been a Pirate. So like, it's
up there's here. Been no. There's been when was the Pirates' last save? Like,
it's pretty rough. That gif of the old lady on the Titanic right about now.
That's right. You can't, so yeah, you can't really do anything between Luke Weaver and Mason Montgomery because we still don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Yeah, another poor piece of pie situation. St. Louis Cardinals, 8 games this week, 5 at Great American Small Park, 3 at Philadelphia, 3 lefties and 5 righties. Great American is 1 lefty and 4 righties if you want to just target the 1 week situation. I just don't know who you stream in this lineup.
Right. I mean, who do you freaking...
Like Nathan Church? Like, in a 15, I could see it, honestly.
Maybe.
Just for the Great American week part of it.
Maybe your other lefties are Weatherholt, Burleson, they're rostered. Cesar Prieto, no. Nope. Jimmy Crooks, no. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know what you do.
Well, since July 31st, or the last 2 weeks, Church has hit safely in all but 2 games, hitting .350 with a home run and 2 steals. So you could roll with them for the Great American week.
Yeah, you could sell me on that.
At least for a 15. You can go that direction. Anything on the pitching side with the Cards? Leahy continues to just be awesome. Just ridiculously good. Anything else for you?
No, that rotation's pretty, I don't even want to say locked in, but the rotation spots are locked in, not the rotation itself. But yeah, Leahy has pitched pretty well.
All right, Arizona Diamondbacks. They have 6 games, 3 at Boston, 3 at home versus Cincinnati. 5 lefties because you get to face Boston, of course. Oof. And 1 righty for the D-backs. But I will say this, Arizona is one of the best offenses versus left-handed pitching of late. So don't let that scare you off, or don't get you too excited if you're a pitcher on the other side.
Yeah, wouldn't mind some Toolman, some Waldschmidt, but that's about it. I don't know. Going back to Ildemar Vargas, he might play more.
Nope, not doing it.
That's
not
your guy. Remember him?
Yeah, I remember him. He was awesome. Awesome for a while there. And then we move on because it's business around here, right? It's just business. But yeah, Tawa, I like the Toolman this week, and I don't mind Waldy, as you said, for potential waiver wire ads. Waldy should be rostered, but Tawa is available in a lot of formats. Pitching side, Soroka's back. I don't have a whole lot. Brandon Fott, you guys made me laugh. You'll appreciate this because he's just pitching out of his rear end right now. Like he is a magician. Did daily matchups for Friday. Brandon Fott's the second worst rated pitcher on the slate.
Yeah.
Because the skills are that bad.
Because the skills, because he's not, he has a 10% strikeout rate over the last 2 weeks.
It's brutal.
Like he doesn't do, I mean, yeah. Running quite wins. Pure with the BABIP gods.
Yeah, it's bad. Bullpen, Ginkle got the save on Sunday. The loss on Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday, he came in like in the seventh. So I feel like it's still Brandon Garcia is the main dog there.
I think so too. And Loaiza, I won't make you pronounce Loaiza.
Johnny Lasagna.
There we go. You could go with that. Hasn't seemed to be in the mix at all.
Nope. Rockies all at home, 3 versus the Dodgers, 3 versus the Guardians, 4 lefties and 2 righties for the Rockies for Zach Veen week with all the lefties on tap.
Yeah, and this is my, like, I mean, Zach Veen, the numbers are just absolutely crazy at AAA this year, hitting .327, 24 homers, 18 steals, has homered already in the big leagues. But we talked about this before. There's, 5 outfielders on the Rockies for probably 4 spots, if you include the DH. And is Zach Veen going to play against lefties? We don't know. I don't know if they get any. Did the Rockies get any this weekend? The Rockies get all righties this coming weekend. So we won't.
I have no idea.
We won't know. I don't know, man. Like, how aggressive would you? Like, I think Zach Veen can be really good. I just, the track record of the Rockies jerking around these prospects when there are already a bunch of other bodies in the outfield, it just scares me to spend, what little money we have left.
Yeah, I won't be overly excited because I don't even know if I'll start him this week. And at this point in the year, if I'm spending money, I need to likely start you. So, or at least have the chance to start you. And there's no chance to really start him this week unless somehow he plays versus lefties, which I would be surprised if he does. I think Jordan Beck might be the sneakier ad next week for a lot cheaper.
Agreed.
And play him for the week, and then you can drop him for all I care. But I will mention that so next week, he got the 4 lefties. For now, the following week, he has 3 lefties and 4 righties, Colorado does. The week after that, it is 2 lefties and 4 righties. So it's a little better, but still, there's a lot of lefty action coming up against the Rockies.
Which is probably not bode well. I mean, maybe Veen will play every day. We'll see. But history suggests otherwise.
Yeah. Otherwise, with the Rockies, that is for sure. Pitching side of things, they're coming to Colorado, so no interest whatsoever here outside of thank you, Jordan Romano.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It's going to blow up at some time, but I don't care anymore. It's been 8 saves.
You've got what you needed.
Yep. But again, we've done our thing. By the time he blows up, Tanner Scott will be closing again. We're good. Nothing to worry about here.
Yep, the beat rolls on.
Yep. Dodgers, 6 games, 3 in Coors, 3 versus Pittsburgh, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Dodgers, which, what are you going to do?
Nothing on the hitter side, pitching
side. I want to mention something to you, though, on your boy T. Oscar. Are you still starting him?
He made me start him again because he had a little hot streak there after our show, and now he's back to Teoscar Segura.
Yeah, I saw a tweet come out. I thought you right out the gate. Since he came off the IL in late June versus right-handed pitchers, he's hitting .209. And Dave Roberts, that's why he's been sitting him or taking him out late in games for pinch hitters because he's struggling versus righties.
Wonderful.
Just throwing that one out there.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there for you.
Should not be starting Teoscar in the 12 teamers that I have him in. Yeah. He is 94% started in 12 teamers, though.
God, there's always an edge, folks. Always an edge. I got nothing, though. Pitching side of things, Eric Lauer. I will say Tyler Glasnow, rehab start Friday, rehab start next Wednesday, and then they're going to reevaluate, but a good chance we see Tyler Glasnow the final week in August.
Which would boot Lauer, right?
It should boot Lauer, yes.
Or maybe, Robleski's been hot garbage lately, too. So.
And he might be hitting some innings. I would have to check. I'm just thinking because he's young. But, Robleski has been bad. Maybe they do some kind of opener things with who knows what. But, just if you Glasnow's 99% roster and 1% started. Awesome. But yeah, Glasnow should be back in like 2 weeks.
Okay.
And pick then, up Tanner Scott.
Yeah, we covered the Edwin Diaz, Tanner Scott throughout the show tonight, but things do not look good for Edwin Diaz. It was a bunch of like singles off of him, but I don't know. Something doesn't look right.
No, it does not. San Diego Padres, 6 games, 3 at the Mets, 3 at home versus Minnesota, 2 lefties, 4 righties, and the Padres are surging right now.
Yeah, this isn't really Fab related, but I don't know if you saw this, but who leads Major League Baseball in barrels last month?
It's Jackson Merrill. I saw your tweet, but I already knew about it because I talked about him on Wednesday, and I actually put out a tweet tonight that I had saved. I forgot to hit send on. He's been so good. So good. And I mentioned it in our Discord that I noticed it a while back because I have him in our listener league. He's been awesome.
He's been incredible. And he's running again, 23 bags. He's been great. But Fab-wise, are you interested in the mascot, Rangifo?
Yep. He's
playing every day, man.
I have him like in 215s. I write about him every week. It's 19% rostered in OCs. Hit a grand slam the other day. He's awesome. He's back to looking like Louis, like the mascot right now. And I'm going to ride that till the wheels fall off.
Yeah, I wish he'd run a little bit more, but you know, beggars can't be choosers. Only 6 he's available. Steals.
He's eligible all over the diamond.
Yeah, plays everywhere. He's making a ton of contact. 12% strikeout rate. You know, obviously the power is not going to be massive with Rengifo, but yeah, things trending the right way and the playing time is super safe.
Yep. Love the mascot. That roster rate needs to go up. I guess maybe 12 is a little trickier, but I think he's still worth the roster in 12s compared to some other players we have talked about. Pitching side of things, it's bad. It's really bad. Casey Mize looked better. Buehler's actually looked better of late. My question is, like, Randy Vasquez is in the rotation right now. Joe Musgrove. Want to bring this one up here.
Oh.
He threw a bullpen on Wednesday, said it's the best he's felt in 2 years. He's supposed to throw another rehab start Friday, or I think it's Friday. It's Friday or Saturday. He could be back next week, if not the following week. Like, Musgrove's really close.
Okay. And I would be very interested there.
Yes.
He will pitch because the Padres rotation has been pretty rough. So he was not on my radar. I like that.
Yeah, 5% rostered in OCs. Like, if he wasn't drafted already in NFBC formats, he's not available. But if you're in other formats and he's not on someone's IL, you can grab him now and throw him on yours. I think there's a world where Joe Musgrove, we see him in a couple of weeks, barring a setback. Like, Pivetta had a setback, so he's kind of – they were on the same time schedule, and that's been derailed. But yep. Musgrove could be back pretty soon.
Okay. I like it.
All right, last but not least, the Gigante is on the road for 6, 3 at Cleveland, 3 at Boston, 4 lefties and 2 righties. This lineup reminds me of the opening scene of Major League. Who the F are these guys? I know who they are because I have to tolerate it, but a couple things I want to throw out there for you. First off, I mentioned them last week, mentioned them in my Fab article, barely picked up anywhere, but Victor Barracuda got activated on the IL on Tuesday. He's been hitting middle of the order every day. Pick him up. That's a guy for power. I'd take him over Tyler O'Neill because he'll run also. Like, I like Victor Barracuda quite a bit. So that would be a target for me. Willie Adames' back's banged up. Who knows what's going on there? I actually dropped Willie in a league last week. I'm over it with him. He's flat out playing hurt and he's not playing well. A couple other things though. Basabe's quite a down shocker. The name I am curious about, he probably isn't available in a lot of leagues. Let me check real quick. He's available in 5% of, or he's rostered in 5% of OCs. Marcelo Meyer, started his rehab at AAA on Thursday, went deep in his first at bat. And I don't know what was going on in Boston, but they legit said he could be up as early as this weekend or beginning of next week with the Giants. And there is zero reason why he does not play every single day the rest of the way to see what the heck we got, because Kristen Kos is playing third base and Basabe is playing second. Basabe can play third or Meyer can play third. It doesn't matter. But Marcelo Meyer is another guy. If you just want to take a shot on to see what he can do, he would be on my radar as well.
Yeah, you just never know. Change of scenery wise, what could happen. So on the radar is probably the best way to put it. I'm not running to grab Marcelo Meyer, but that's a good call out. I like that. And I was curious your Basabe takes just because.
Yeah,
I never really believed, and he's
not. like the last 2 weeks, he's been so far down my waterfalls. It was always a dollar. I was not going crazy for him, but it's one of those like, well, I need middle infield. He fills in. But like I got Andres Jimenez, like I mentioned, like Basabe was below him, stuff like that. It was never a priority for me where other people really liked him. But yeah, Drew Gilbert's playing well. I'm still not jumping on that train. I'm curious to see what they're going to do. They just called up this kid from AAA, Turner Hill. He's hitting like 355 with 24 steals, 9 homers, has a 26-game hitting streak at AAA. So I'm wondering how that playing time plays out. Jonah Cox is crushing it at AAA. He's supposed to get called up soon. A lot of moving parts. They just picked up Shea Whitcomb, you know, my boy from the Astros. So
you're a lot going, of garbage. You're cutting real deep here, man.
This is what well, try watching this team. But so the main moves is Barracudo and keep an eye on Meyer is what I'm saying there. Pitching side, please pick up Blade Tidwell. It wasn't just a two-step. I can't keep saying enough. This kid is good. He's looked good. Will he look at every game? Probably not because he's a kid, but he's actually a really good pitcher. And I think you'll be more happy than you won't be the rest of the way because if you just look at his Blade Tidwell's upcoming schedule. Oh,
it's awesome. It's Road Rockies yeah. next start. It's at Boston yeah. after that versus Arizona after that. So, yeah, I guess, quote-unquote, overspent on Blade Tidwell.
Nah, you're
fine. Last week in Fab, I hang out with you too much, but I think I'm happy to overspend.
Yeah, so that'd be my main things. Dylan Smith's turned into like every other guy that gets the closing role in San Francisco. So he is the closer, but I'd still take Senga or Joyce or who did you mention earlier you liked a lot? I don't know, but there's other options in that one. All right, any final thoughts on our 30-team schedules coming up here before we hit the two-step?
More action than I thought leading into it. So
I have a long list.
So not a lot of like headliners, but a lot of options and streams. Closing options as well and streams. Yep, exactly.
Yep. Get ready for the article this weekend, folks. It'll be a doozy just like last week. Giddy up. You can get that on the Patreon, everybody, if you're curious. Drops usually Saturday night. All right, two steps. Arizona, Brat at Boston versus Cincinnati.
I'm not rolling with the Brett this week.
I will say if you're in a daily league, that Cincinnati start, I would start him. But the Boston one is disgusting. So if you can not have to start him for the whole week, Brett could be a nice stream for the weekend.
And it's at the Giants after that, which is nice.
Which is nice as well. So yeah, so he's not a complete waste, just tough Boston start right there.
Yeah.
A's, Barnett, no. I'll ask, at Kansas City, at Houston?
No.
Perkins?
Oh God, I can see it in 15s. I can see it, but I really don't want to. Like yeah, I will actively try to not do that.
Earlier we said yes to Martin Perez and Tyler Molly. I don't see how it's Ronaldo Lopez. So Perez and Molly at Minnesota, at Milwaukee. We both said yep.
Yep.
Brandon Young at Tampa Bay versus Tampa Bay. Oh, that's right. 'Cause it's the one to start the week. It's Tampa Bay twice in 1 week.
What the hell? In different stadiums.
Yep, that's a tough one. You hate seeing teams back to back like that.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Waiting for a Sarah Lang's tweet on that one. First time in how many years?
I'm not going to do that.
No, I'm not either. But Shane Bazoff, his first bad start in a long time. First the Yankees versus Tampa, I'm back in.
I think I'm back in. The Tampa start does scare me, but they are pretty good against righties, but the Yankees don't at all. So yeah, I'm doing Boz.
Yeah, and before that last hiccup, he's actually been really, really good. So we're good. Ranger Suarez versus Arizona versus the Giants. Still only up to like 81 pitches. They still haven't fully let him go, and he's made like 4 starts. It's weird.
Yeah, I still do it. The Arizona start scares me, but I'm doing Ranger.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, you're doing it. Just be wary. Right now, there's no two-step for the Cubs, but there should be because they have Edward Cabrera pitching Monday, and I put in the Discord. The Cubs came out and said Eric Cabrera is likely going to the bullpen when he returns from the IL. So you guys kind of wait and see how that shakes out.
That was surprising, but yes, agreed.
Cincinnati, Andrew or Rhett Lauder. No, let's don't have to finish that sentence. Andrew Abbott versus St. Louis at Arizona.
Versus St. Louis at Arizona. No, I don't think so.
I wouldn't do either of those. Foster the Griffin versus the Giants at Coors.
Yes. Hell yeah.
Yes, that's a really good one. Sagano versus the Dodgers versus Cleveland.
No, but I think Sagano has like 12 wins this year.
Yep. I actually made him a point of conversation on Leading Off on Wednesday, and people were like, what are you doing? And I broke it down, and I said, 12 wins. Name me 12 wins. The Rockies have 47 on the season.
It's unbelievable. Like, that is impossible.
It's more than 25% of their wins.
And I think Senzatella had like...
He had like 7 or 8.
I was going to say 10, but he had...
It might be 10.
It might be, like, Sugano and Senzatella for a... Like, on the Rockies. Like, that. I don't know. That pisses me off to no end, how Sugano... has, like, the wins is the worst freaking category.
Yeah.
Oh,
what makes it even funnier for me is what brought it to my attention is he beat the D-backs on Tuesday. He's 3-0 versus the D-backs, or the D-backs are 0-3 versus Sagano, 9-0 versus the rest of the Rockies.
It's unbelievable, man.
It's insane. So that's why part of me is like, screw it, throw him. He's probably 1-1 out of 2.
Does he lead baseball in wins, or is it like Aaron Ashby?
It's probably Aaron Ashby, I'll tell you right now.
What a freaking category we use. Unbelievable.
Wins. Right now, Christopher Sanchez has 15.
Sanchez has 15. Foster the Griffin, 13. Okay.
So there's some hope out there.
Ashby's got 13. But yeah, man. Freaking Sagano. Palante has 12 wins as well.
Yep.
Shit is absurd.
Luis Castillo at the Cubs versus the Mets.
Yes, I am.
And no Davis Martin. Framber Valdez at Pittsburgh at Kansas City.
I'm doing that. Yes. Pittsburgh's awful against lefties, and Kansas City is not good against lefties either.
Yeah. Just hoping Valdez is an awful, but yeah, good matchups. I know. Christian Javier versus the Angels versus the A's.
It's good matchups if you want to do it. And swinging strike's been okay. Okay control. I could see you doing Javier in 15s.
Yeah, you can do it. Just buckle up. Michael Wacha versus the A's versus Detroit's a yes. And then there's Lynch versus the A's versus Detroit. We kind of talked about that.
Right. No, you're not going to get wins, I don't think.
George Clausen at Houston at Texas. I think so.
That's your guy. That's your guy. The way he looked his last start, sure, I could see it.
Especially in 15s. 12s, more of a coin toss, but 15s, yes. Jansen Junk at Philadelphia versus Washington.
No.
No, thank you. No. Okay, so right now they have Joe Ryan coming back next Friday. That's the earliest he can return. So if he doesn't, Bailey Ober likely gets versus Atlanta at San Diego.
I could see it in 15s.
Yeah, he came back to earth his last start. I'm going to avoid that one. Nolan McLean versus San Diego at the White Sox.
Yeah, he's been frustrating, but yes.
Yep, agreed. Will Warren, I don't know if he makes both these starts, but it's at Baltimore versus Toronto.
Yeah, I throw that.
God, he's so bad.
50% K to walk. You wouldn't throw him in 15s?
I probably would in 15s, but I pray to God he gets two starts. If he doesn't, I'm not throwing him. That's the thing. So be prepared for that. Christopher Sanchez versus Miami versus St. Louis. That's a yes. Mojinski versus Detroit at the Dodgers. That's a no.
I agree. The way the Tigers are hitting and then Dodgers. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And since he came back to the rotation, the first couple starts have not been good. Walker Buehler at the Mets versus the Twins.
No, better I don't his last think
couple
so.
Starts.
I know, but it's Walker Buehler, man. He's not missing any bats. I don't.
No, I'm not picking him up. I'm just asking. Bryce Miller at Milwaukee versus the Cubs.
He's come back to earth. I still throw it.
Wisenhunt at Cleveland at Boston. That's a no.
No, the control just can't horrible. Get over that yet.
You're going to love this. Andre Pallante at Cincinnati at Philadelphia. That's a yes.
Yeah. I mean, 100% guarantee for 2 wins there. So, sure, why not?
And then Kyle Leahy at Cincinnati at Philadelphia is a definite yes. He's pitched really well.
Yeah, agreed.
Nick Martinez versus Baltimore at Baltimore. He gets the double whammy too.
Don't know how he's doing it, but he's doing it. So,
complete
do it.
Complete game in Sacramento. Like, what the F are we doing? And then Drew Rasmussen's a yes.
Yep.
Cal Quantrill versus Washington versus the Angels.
No.
Somehow he has a 3.44 ERA. I have no idea. Jose Soriano at Tampa Bay at the Yankees.
You got to be pretty desperate in 15s.
Agreed on that one, but I think I'd still do it, but yes. Jackson Kent at Texas at Miami.
I could see you doing it. I could see you doing it. I'd like to see how he, I don't know. Yeah, I could see you do it. Yep.
All right. Before we head out here, before we get some listener questions, just got to throw this out there. 6-inning pitch, 2 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, and a win. Would that appetize you at all, Ryan?
Yes.
Walbert Urania's line tonight looked real good.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks. Did he get a win?
Yeah, I said he got a win. He got the win. Yeah. Quality great start, win. Got
good it all. For, you know, can't spell Walbert without W. So,
a baby. All right. One question from the Discord. Matt Cardinal says, Ryan, can you distract your dad Sunday night? I need some Uri in my or estuary in my life.
Oh, yeah. I'll see if Pops goes after Ruiz. I don't need to distract him, man. He can distract himself and forget where he is.
Remember those glasses we talked about?
Yeah, no, right. Yeah, his eyesight's back though, so maybe he will hop back in Fab.
You know what I thought of when you described those glasses? It's like the old man from the cartoon Up.
Oh yeah. That's what it is. Those are the glasses.
It probably walks the same too.
Dude, he bought these new sandals, man. They're sick, but yeah, it's quite the scene.
I can't wait to see the man in a couple. He'll probably
rock those sandals at first pitch. He will probably rock those things.
Good for him. Yeah. But all right, that'll wrap up our week 22. Ryan, any final thoughts before we head out of here on a wacky Thursday night?
No. Thanks for closing it out with Walbert. Really needed that.
Well, I want, you know, you're talking about wins. I want to distract you, but you brought it full circle like a professional that you are. So I appreciate it. But if you like this, if you like more, come check us out on the Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaBloom, everybody. You get a lot more of that in the Discord, some written content, and Ryan's awesome sheets and things that he puts together that are really, really sweet. But until then, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at BubbaBloomPod. I'm at BD Entrick, and until next time, this was Bubba the Bloom, episode 373. Catch y'all later.